Take your Bibles and look at Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Romans 12, 9. I forgot to get a cup of coffee. Jim, would you mind getting me just a cup of coffee? I forgot. I'm sorry. So, wasn't that a great teaching Jim did?
You know,
I sure have been super blessed with all the teachings that people have done. And, you know, I'm thankful for the Sonardos for letting us have the, you know, the meetings here. And it's just been a wonderful time. It's been great for me, too, in my life with the stuff that happened in my family before. And to be able to have the opportunity of having my head in the Word, which is great. Thank you. I'm sorry. So, has this been helpful to you, Romans? Are you blessed with it? If you have any comments or, you know, if you'd like to write something, send me an email or something. You know, if you'd like to have any complaints, you can send them to Nick. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Romans 12, verse 9. This is a good one. Love without hypocrisy. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. By the way, you see here, what is his name?
Joe Doe.
Does he drink coffee? All right. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. So the word without dissimulation means hypocrisy. Let love be without hypocrisy. In Greek tragedy, there was a guy, and he was called a hypocritos. And this guy, hypocritos, he was a guy that wore a mask. And these guys could play a lot of parts. They would have a mask, a happy face, and he'd come out and be a certain guy. And then he'd go backstage or change the mask, and then he'd play a different part. So a hypocritos was an actor. So the word hypocrisy comes from one who is an actor, who's a fake, a phony, somebody who puts on a front or a show. That's where we get, it means an actor. And that's where we get the word, you know, hypocrisy from. So it's cool. We don't have to be hypocrites, right? We can be real. You know, I know sometimes we have a hard day. Hello, I'm Believer Man. Everything, I am happy all the time. Some days you thank God for, and some days you thank God they're over. Hi, Elke, I'm mad at you. Okay. So, but you know what? This verse doesn't say, don't be a hypocrite. It says, let love be without hypocrisy. So this is talking about some genuine love. Love that is real. Love that's not phony. Love that's not fake. But love that is genuine. So tonight we're going to look at, in this teaching, some aspects of this love which is genuine in the body of Christ. Practicing some of the things we learn in the book of Romans. And then we'll also get into some practical matters among believers, which will be really cool. So, for example, love unites people, right? Charity, the bond of perfectness, right? Here's a little thing Dr. Roll wrote a long time ago when he was teaching Romans, just a little, some stuff he said, talking about a verse about not having any schisms. This verse just sends chills up and down my spine. For it is absolutely God's will that there's no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Schisms in the body come because people don't like other people. Do you like the person next to you? Don't answer that. Schisms in the body. Why did you laugh, Rosie? Schisms in the body usually come because people don't like each other. They haven't renewed their mind on love. That love is far greater. Love is far greater than to fight with people over principles. Maybe one little principle that you think is so important. So, love is really good. Love is great. And for those of you who are married, and a lot of you are married, you know when you and your wife are doing really well, everything's beautiful. You know, it's all good, as they say. Quote, unquote. It's a figure of speech. Then something goes wrong. it's no big deal because everything is beautiful. And life is beautiful. Now, you do that same thing maybe a week after, but there's some tension in the house and something else happens and you do that same thing. All of a sudden, boom, it's a giant thing. Why? Because, you know, there's not maybe that love is flowing that day. So what you need to do is have a lot of love there, right? Mm-hmm. And how about in the body of Christ? If Maggie and I are getting along, wow, she does something, or I do something, I go downstairs to her house and I do something stupid, but we're buddies, everything's fine. But if Maggie's been mad at me for at least a year and a half, and I go downstairs and do that thing, there could be division in the body. Here's a little body, right? You want to see some division? Well, that's not too pleasant, is it? No, so we don't want that. And you know, we don't want that at all. So having a lot of love is really cool. Having a lot of love is really cool. All right, that's the end of my teaching. So let's look at verse 10. So we're going to see about this love without hypocrisy here. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Be kindly affectionate. Love each other, tenderly affectionate. This is cool. Have you ever heard somebody say, I love you, but I don't like you? Mm-hmm. Yeah? Okay. Well, whoever says that to you, you could read him this verse. Because to be kindly affectioned kind of means to like somebody. I love you, but I don't like you? Chapter and verse on that one. It's more like, you know, we might not like what we do, right? Mm-hmm. No, but I love you, I don't like you. I don't know where that comes from. All right, so now, how about this? In honor, preferring one another. Honor? Why shouldn't we honor? Christ died for all of us, right? We're all righteous when we're born again. That's deserving of some honor, correct? Mm-hmm. Very simple. All right, now, verse 11. I'd like somebody to read a verse. All right, Ed, you can read this. Verse 11. Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead.
Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord.
Serving the Lord. Okay, here it is. Now, these are cool verses. Not slothful in spirit. One way to translate this could be not sluggish in diligence. Not sluggish in diligence. The second thing is fervent in spirit. Fervent means hot or boiling. Hot, turned on, boiling in the things of God. So you get a person, he's not sluggish in diligence. He's boiling in the things of God. So you have one, not sluggish in diligence. Two, turned on, boiling, hot in the things of God. And then that comes out with a really good number three, and that's what?
Serving the Lord.
So, man, if there's a guy who's really diligent or a woman, and he's really turned on to the Word, that's going to be some really cool service, isn't it? Mm-hmm. But, you know, if I'm wondering, you know, nobody appreciates what I do. You know, nobody thanks me. That's not a good attitude to have for good godly service, is it?
No.
Dr. Rule used to say, if you are waiting for people to thank you all the time, you'll rot in the stupid grave. You don't wait around for people's thanks. You know what? We can't walk for God because people to kiss our you-know-what. You got to do it. We do it for God, not for people's appreciation. Sometimes you'll get it and sometimes you won't. You know, Jeremiah didn't get a lot of appreciation, did he?
No.
And if he was doing it for appreciation, he would have stopped a long time ago. But he was doing it for something else. He was doing it for God and His Word. Not slothful in business, turned on to the things of God, and man, that's a good combination for some tremendous godly service. Now, here's a really cool thing. A really cool thing. Now, Leo, are you over there? Where are you? You have some friends at school? A few friends? Do you guys hang around with each other all the time? Sometimes? What do you have in common? Like a few things? you don't have to tell us any secrets. Like, you sit around and you travel and you hang out together, right? Have a little posse, have some people, right? So people would look at you and go, well, gee, you know, these people, they hang out together. What do they have in common? Is that correct? You guys might have something in common, correct? Okay. It's good. Now, I won't put you on the spot anymore. Now, let's read this verse. Okay. Elke, could you read verse 12?
Romans 12:12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer.
These words here appear in the Bible quite often together. And just as maybe if I went to high school, I'd see Leo and his friends hanging out together, I would wonder what the relationship was. With these words here, a lot of time in the scripture, they're together. Sometimes when you see words that are together in the scripture, they might be opposites. Sometimes when you see words together, they might be one's the problem and the other's the solution. They could be words that are similar. So when you see words that appear in the Bible together often, ask yourself the question, what's the relationship, right? So look at these words. Some of these are in Romans 5, remember? Tribulation, affliction. Affliction, mental pressure. Is it good to be patient when you have some mental pressure?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Instead of like exploding all over somebody? You know, patient tribulation. Is it good to pray possibly when we have some tribulation?
Yes.
How about rejoicing? Is that good for tribulation?
Yes.
How about thinking of the hope when we have some pressure?
Mm-hmm.
So all these words are related. And words that hang around with each other a lot in the scriptures, look at them very closely, okay? All right, verse 13. It says, distributing to the necessity of the saints. We help each other out. We bless them. We, you know, we take care of each other, help each other along the way. Given to hospitality. Given a hospitality. You know, we're in the house of the Sinardos here. These are some of the most hospitable people I know, you know, and you guys are hospitable too, but they've practiced hospitality. You know, Nicholas is still welcome here. I'm just kidding. But they've had people in their house for years and years and years. Why? We want to love people. You know, we want to love people. All right, now 14 to 17. Liz, could you read those?
Sure. Romans 12:14. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil.
All right, but that's good. Come on, Liz, just slow down. Okay. Don't rely on, be not wise in your own conceits. That means, you know, we're not to rely on our own intellect. Trusting our own sense knowledge is not the, you know, most, trust in your own sense knowledge, no. What is it, Proverbs 3:5? Trust in who? The Lord. Lord, right? Now here's a good one, verse 17, I like this verse. Verse 17, it says, recompense to no man evil for what?
Evil.
Evil. Payback. Who's into payback? I need a helper up here. Nicholas, come on over here, Nicholas. Now, I don't know. I could be getting in trouble with Nicholas. Payback. Now, come on over here, Nicholas. Now, Nicholas and I are buddies. But, you know, we haven't been getting along, you know. Just today, we, you know. We just got a little situation happening. So, you know, I'm mad at Nicholas. I'm really kind of mad at Nicholas. You know, so I'm just going to, like, do a little thing, you know, just to kind of tweak him a little bit to see what happens, you know. So, you know, Nicholas, now, you know, I just did something, little thing to offend him. So you can go ahead and do something about it. You know, that pisses me off. He has no respect for his elders, and I'm clearly older. You know? Oh, look at the smile. You don't know. Did you see what your son did to me? I do have some wisdom, and I am going to stop right now. Now, you know, each one of us felt justified in doing it to the other, right? And if we wouldn't have paid each other back evil for evil, then it would have never got to the place where I was about to have my butt kicked, quote unquote. And that's interesting. Thank you, Nicholas. By the way, Nicholas, my shoulder hurts. And that's really interesting. Now, another interesting thing happens. You know, if I'm hurt. Wow. I got hurt. Some believer or all bunch of believers hurt me, or whatever it is. People sometimes do things to get rid of that hurt. And sometimes that hurt, how they do that, isn't the best. Nicholas hurt me, so I wanted to punch him back. Now, if you're hurt, there's ways to get around the hurt, isn't there? Yeah. And there's some ways that people do that aren't good to get around that hurt. And sometimes because I'm hurt, then if I don't do the right thing, I wound up hurting other people, right? Just was talking to a person not too long ago, or about a person, and this person got hurt. And instead of dealing with that hurt in a godly way, took some actions that weren't all that godly. So, how many of you ever been hurt before? Raise your hands. Some of you don't have your hand up. Everybody's been hurt. How many? And you know what? But then how do we deal with that hurt? Do we lash out? Do we pay back evil for evil like I'm going to do with Nicholas after the teaching? No, or do we do it in a godly way? You know? Pay back no evil for evil. You know? That's interesting. All right, 18 through 20. I'd like somebody to read some verses. One? Okay, good.
Verse 18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head.
Right. We all know this Orientalism, right? I think we all do. Heap coals of fire on a person's head means to bless them. You know, it means that way back in Bible times, they didn't have heaters, air conditioning, nothing like that. So what they used to do was there would be a big fire in the middle of the town. You'd go there in the morning at 4 o'clock in the morning, like a lot of us get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and you go over there whenever, throw a few sticks in there, and then you could take home some coals on top of your head in a little like clay jar or whatever it was. You'd take the coals home, and the coals would be nice and hot. It would warm your head, you know, and then you take them and put them in your house, and then that would heat your house, and you could, you know, cook some raviolis or something for breakfast or whatever they ate. So it was a blessing. It was a blessing. Now watch this. Verse 21. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with what?
Good.
Love without hypocrisy. Love without hypocrisy is not overcome by evil. Love without hypocrisy doesn't like evil. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Right? See, that's all. You just, love without hypocrisy is not overcome of evil. But it overcomes evil with what?
Good.
Isn't that cool? Look at that. We don't have to pay back evil for evil. Not necessary. Not necessary at all. So, now we're going to do something very wild and strange. We're going to skip chapter 13. And we're going to go all the way to 14. So turn in your Bibles to 14. And the reason why is, tomorrow night Jerry's going to come and he's going to do one of the teachings. And it's going to be on chapter 13. So we're going to skip 13, but we're coming back. Just remember that chapter 13 is in the context of practice. Now, let's look at chapter 14. This is a fun chapter with some interesting things. All right, chapter 14, verse 1. chapter 14, verse 1. Mike West, could you read a verse for us?
Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations.
Okay. Him that's weak in the right way of believing, receive ye, but not to judging among disputes that may arise. Sometimes people are weaker or immature than we are, but we're not to try to get into judging people. Judging people is no good. Let's look at Matthew chapter 7. We don't want to make any judgments that are carnal judgments. We're going to come back here, but look at Matthew chapter. So we need to be walking in love. That's practicing. That's practicing here. The love of God without hypocrisy. And we have freedom in Christ. All of us are free in Christ, right? But we can't use our freedom, or we can't judge other people's freedoms by what we do or don't do. Right? We can't judge other people's freedoms by what we do or don't do. Sometimes we've been in the Word a long time. So I am like just so spiritual because I've been in the Word for a long time. And then there's a young person in the Word and he thinks I'm kind of strange. Okay. So, many years ago when I was a young lad, I was a guy from California, had long hair. This was in 1970. And I went to the first Rock of Ages many, many years ago. And the first people in the ministry years and years ago, they were basically older people, like my age right now, older people with gray hair. And they lived in Ohio and were kind of like, most of them were German and they were farmers and all that. And they had their thing going on with Dr. Werwell and it was great. But then the Word of God started to move and young people from the coast went and they began to hear God's Word correctly, rightly divided. So then all these young people, kind of wild people, went over there. People who looked weird, people who act weird, people who did weird things went over there. Maybe even people who were on drugs. Maybe even people who did strange things. And some of the people back then who were older, they looked at those people and they were wondering, whoa, what are these people doing here? And some of us looked at those people and said, what am I doing here? And that's true. You remember that. Like, this is bizarre. But Dr. Werwell looked at all these strange young people from the East and West Coast, and even though they were bizarre and some of them were whacked out and weird and all this other kind of, he saw that these people really had tremendous hunger for God's Word. Sometimes we look at people and they're not quite like us. They don't know about the Bible and they're kind of weird and wacky and whatever. But you know what? We can't sit in judgment them, because you know what? Maybe they're really hungry for God's Word. Neither should young people sit in judgment, you know, of other people also, or people who are immature or more. Whatever. So let's look here at, where am I? Matthew 7. This is a good one. Matthew 7. This is a good one. You ever think of getting LASIK surgery? Anybody ever think? I know you had it, but anybody else think of getting LASIK surgery? Okay. Now this is an interesting thing. You know what LASIK surgery is? Is when somebody operates on your eye. Could be a very good thing. We're going to look at like some eye operation here a long time ago. Yeah, hang in, Elkie. You'll see. Hang in there. Here, you want a little mint to keep you occupied till we get there? Verse 2. For with what judgment you judge, you're going to be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why you who are going to do an operation on somebody's eye, why beholdest thou the little thing that's in your brother's eye? But you don't consider this big old thing that's in what? Your own eye. Dude, if you're going to operate on somebody's eye, you better be seeing very well. And if I was you, I wouldn't be so concerned about the little speck in this guy's eye. You ought to be thinking about the big thing in your own eye. Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, "Oh, let me pull out the little thing that's in your eye, and behold, this giant thing is in your eye, this bigger thing." Thou what? Hypocrite. First cast out the bigger thing that's in your own eye, and then you're going to see clearly to cast out the little thing in your brother's eye. I'm sure Jim could come up with a pretty funny skit on this. So, sometimes we are so spiritual, we sit in judgment of people. But you know what? We better be sure our judgment is what God judges and not just by our own perception. Otherwise, we're all religious and uppity. Better watch that. Okay, now let's look back here at Romans. Romans chapter 14. This is juicy. I like this. I don't even know where I am. That's kind of scary. Romans 14, verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believes that he may eat all things, and another who is weak or immature, he eats herbs or vegetables. Let not him that eats despise him that eats not, and let not him that eats not judge him that eats. For God has what?
Received
him. You know, let me tell you something. I take 5 kinds of vitamins. And not for 1 year has one bit of bacon fat got in my mouth. I want to tell you, I am one disciplined dude. I eat vegetables. Rosie, don't laugh. And I am one disciplined believer, and I don't understand why any believer can't control their cravings for food. Then there's believer number 2. Hey, I've been set free in Christ. I'm going to eat whatever I want. I live at Ruts for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I don't care. And you, what's the matter with you? Believe God. Eat some food. Enjoy your life. Now, does God care if you eat hot dogs?
No.
Does God care if you eat vegetables necessarily?
No.
It's not us. But all that is carnal judgment, correct? Mm-hmm. Now, obviously there's things we do in the walk that are better than others. However, it's not a sin to do either one. And you could see the perspective. Mm-hmm. Is our judgment biblical, or is our judgment what we allow in our life? Mm-hmm. Right? Interesting, right? Mm-hmm. Really interesting. We don't want to get into any of that. You know? Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Yea, he shall be holden up. For God is able to what?
Make him stand.
No problem. I'm not the master. I'm not the Lord. You know, I'm just... Hey, we all answer to God and his son Jesus Christ. It's really interesting, though. Sometimes we judge people, though, on what we allow or we don't allow. You know? Which is really interesting. You know? You don't read God's word in the morning for 2 hours? Like me? How can you be righteous? Okay. All right, now, let's look at 6 through 10. I would like somebody else. Nick, could you read this? 6 through 10.
He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ.
Right, we understand that, right? Very simple. We shouldn't judge each other by carnal judgments or what we allow or don't allow in our life. We need to look and understand people in light of the Word. Very simple. Now, it says here, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That's a bema. A bema. You remember the bema? Mm-hmm. A bema was a place where they didn't give out punishment. They only gave out rewards. And remember in Romans chapter 5, it says that we're saved from the wrath to come, right? So, at this bema where we're going to be in the future, it's not the heavy judgment where we're going to get punished because we're saved from the wrath to come. The judgment seat that the church goes through is not something else that happens in the book of Revelation, but it's a place where we only get good, not we get bad. Isn't that cool? And that fits exactly perfectly with not having wrath to come. Now, verse 11, for as it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Now, verse 13, let us not therefore judge one another anymore. Man, we're free in Christ. So I cannot impose my carnal judgment on a believer. I have no right. Correct?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Not no right. Because, you know, in the book of Romans, man, we just got set free and all that stuff. But judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's what?
Way.
Now that's interesting too. Hey, I'm free, man. We're all free in Christ. Man, we've been set free, righteous, justified, all this other kind of stuff. We are supposed to walk without hypocrisy, love without hypocrisy. However, if our freedom that we have in life causes someone else to fall, then my freedom or your freedom cannot be someone else's bondage. We may have the right to exercise a certain freedom. However, if my selfish act to exercise a right at a certain time causes someone else to fall, then my freedom becomes someone else's bondage, and that's not love without hypocrisy. Mm-hmm. Correct? See, and we're going to look at this right here in the Word. Really cool material. Look at how we're practicing Romans here about this. Now, verse 14. Elke, could you read that?
Verse 14. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean.
Okay, let's see what this unclean means. Let's look at Acts chapter 10. Acts 10. Unclean means common as opposed to holy or sanctified. Acts 10. Verse 9. Unclean means common as opposed to holy or sanctified. On the morrow, as they went on the journey and drew nigh into the city, Peter went up upon a housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance, and saw heaven opened and certain vessel descending unto him, as it been a great sheet knit at four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, wild beasts, creepy things, and fowls of the air, Well, you know, in the Old Testament, they couldn't eat everything, could they? Remember that? Mm-hmm. So, some of these things were kind of weird there. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or what?
Unclean."
Ah, so some of those things in the Old Testament, they couldn't eat. But God said, in that context, kill and eat. Now, let's look back at Romans chapter whatever, Romans 14. Hey, we're set free from the law, right? Why do we want to impose our own judgments on other people? We just got set free from the law. I don't need somebody else laying some law on me. Especially if it's not godly. At all. We're set free. Now look at this. "I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteems anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean." All right, so, you know, in the Old Testament they had these laws. You couldn't eat this and this and this. Now, there isn't anything that's unclean. However, if a person in his own mind thinks it's unclean, then to him it's what? Unclean. He hasn't gotten over that in his mind. Do we understand that? It's good, right? "But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, how walkest thou not" what?
Charity.
Love of God without hypocrisy. Remember we were just talking about that? If your brother is grieved by what you're eating, you're not walking lovingly. "Destroy him not with thy meat, for whom Christ" what? "Died." All right? Now, back then in Bible times, what they used to do, they would have idol worship. And they would sacrifice meat to idols. Some of you have probably seen this. If you've been exposed to Santeria or other kind of odd things that go on, you'll have a god, and then up there with the god, they put meat, and they sacrifice the meat to this god or different things, whatever. You know, and back then, there was gods all over the place, right? So it was okay if they had all this meat and it was dedicated to a god. It was okay, you know, you can read about this in 1 Corinthians. You know, if you ate some of the meat, it's all right. You know, however, if you're out there and maybe you happen to eat some meat that's dedicated to somebody or whatever, but there's this guy next to you, he's a brand new believer in the word, and maybe he used to worship this god. If he used to worship this god and now I'm kind of eating some of this meat that was dedicated, if I eat this meat and here's this new believer next to me, you know, if he starts to eat this meat, maybe he's going to start falling into worshiping this god again. So my freedom to do that in that situation is not good because it causes him to stumble, right? So we cannot allow our freedoms to cause other people to stumble. Now, there's other examples in today's world, I'm sure. "Let not your good be evil spoken of." Verse 17. Nick, could you read that?
"For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit Ghost." I just wanted to
leave
it there.
No, it's fine. It's okay. "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy..." What's the most important thing? Meat and drink? No. Absolutely not. The kingdom of God, walk in the word, all this other kind of stuff. Not stupid things like, gee, I really have to eat this meat right now, or I really have to drink this drink. "For he that in these things serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men." Verse 19. "Let us therefore follow after the things which cause division."
No. No.
Which what?
Make for peace.
"And things wherewith we may" what?
Edify
one another. Remember, Corinthians talks a lot about edification, doesn't it? So we're to follow the things that are made for peace. Maybe I'm out with Jan West, and I decide I have the right to do what I'm going to do. But you know what? We may have a lot of right to do what we're going to do. But in a certain context, it's better to follow the things that make for what?
Peace.
Peace. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have right. I have the right to do this. However, in that situation, it might not be loving, correct? Mm-hmm. It's not, we don't have, if everybody went around and exercised their right to do something, there'd be a lot of fights in the world, wouldn't it? How many people would be killed over parking places? That's my right. Right? You see that? Isn't that beautiful? In light of loving with hypocrisy, it can't be love when we exercise our freedom, but it causes somebody to have bondage. All right, now, so let us therefore follow after these things which make for peace, and things wherewith we may edify one another. Verse 20, Liz, could you read that?
For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense.
Or causes, or is offensive. You know, it like that, you know, the idol thing, or different things. For it is neither, it is good neither to eat flesh or to drink wine. See? Drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended or is made what?
Weak.
You know, we got just have to watch it. You have to be wise. Just have to be wise. See? So, we're set free. We've been set free from the law. Christ is the end of the law. We're to love without hypocrisy. We're not to impose our sense knowledge judgments on anybody or somebody who is immature or whatever. None of that. We're set free from the law. Also, in this situation, our freedoms should not cause someone else to stumble. Here's another thing that's coming up. The freedom that we allow in our life shouldn't affect us either. Watch this. It is neither good to eat flesh nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended or is made weak. Hast thou believing? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemns not himself in the thing which he what?
Allows.
Happy is he that condemns not himself in the thing which he allows. Now, this verse has been mishandled and twisted over the years. Does this verse say I can do anything I want so long as I don't condemn myself?
No.
Doesn't say that, does it? Just think if it did say that. We could have some fun with that, couldn't we? You could take that verse and twist it way out of proportion and justify just about any ungodly action. But in the context, what's it talking about? Mm-hmm. Things that are okay. Not okay. It's a free country, right? Mm-hmm. However, if I am doing something that's not off the word, but I'm condemning myself for what I'm doing, I ought to either change my mind or stop doing it. Okay? My freedom shouldn't cause someone else to stumble, but also the thing that I'm doing in my life, which isn't off the word, but in my mind, if I'm condemning myself for doing it, then I should either change my mind or stop. Do we see that? It's okay? There's plenty of things that are fine. However, if somebody doesn't feel good about doing it, they shouldn't do it. Okay? For example, smoking. Smoking's not a sin. Might not be the best for your body. However, it's not a sin. But if I smoke a few cigars one night, and you know what? I feel like I feel terrible. I shouldn't be smoking. I don't know. Smoking's not a sin. What? Am I hitting home over here? No, just kidding. There's nothing wrong with, you know. But if I do that and I condemn myself and I feel bad about it, what should I do? Not do it. It's very simple. My freedom shouldn't cause me, my own self, to stumble. Isn't that interesting? Okay. So, look at this. Verse 22. Hast thou believing? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemns not himself in the thing which he allows. Simple. That doesn't mean that, you know, I can do anything so long as I don't condemn myself. Maybe I'll steal Nick's car and not condemn myself, and it's okay with God. That is nothing in the context. That's not what it's talking about, is it? Not at all. And he that doubts is damned or frustrated if he eats, because he eats not of believing. For whatsoever is not of faith is what?
Sin.
So, very simple. Love without hypocrisy. We're practicing Christianity. We've been set free. No more laws. All these things, righteousness. How cool is that? However, I cannot impose my judgment on somebody else. If I'm to judge, it needs to be with the word, not about what I like or don't like, because we all stand approved before Christ, not each other's likes or dislikes. Okay? Whether I'm a young person or an old person, if there's a new person in the fellowship, of course he's going to act like an unbeliever. He doesn't know anything else about it. We've all been kids once. And then the freedom that we allow in our life cannot cause someone else to stumble, because that is love with hypocrisy, because then my freedom is hurting somebody. That can't be love. I may have the right to do something, but then to carry it out in that way causes somebody to stumble. Then the other thing is, we're walking in the love of God and all these things, and there's plenty of things we can do. And if it's okay with God, it's great. However, if we're feeling bad about doing them, then we should either change our mind or not do it. These are practical things that really help us to get along. Because let's face it, we're all different. Take a look around, right? Mm-hmm. We're all different. Some of you like Italian food. Some of you smoke cigars. Some of you do whatever. There's plenty of room to be free. But it gets weird when we, you know, have to be so, you know, uptight about some little tiny thing, and we blow it up instead of, what's the big picture? What does God really want? If we cut each other some slack and walk in love, we bring the best out of each other. Isn't that really cool? Mm-hmm. For example, the Wests, they're married, have a wonderful son back there. He's growing up very quickly. He's very tall right now. They're married. My wife and I are married. You know, the Sonardos, a lot of us are married. I can't judge somebody else's marriage by my marriage. And they can't judge my marriage by their marriage. Right? There's plenty of freedom under the umbrella of what God says to live our lives how we want. We want to be free. Let's not impose our will on somebody else. Let's not cause people to stumble or trip our own selves out. Let's enjoy being believers and be free. Let's enjoy our life. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Father, thanks for tonight. Thank you for your word and for all the wonderful things that your Son, Jesus Christ, accomplished for us. I thank you for this and for the privilege we have to know you and to know your word. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.